Hello, everyone, and welcome back to the Yankee Nation podcast presented by Wagman Enterprises and Wesley Sports Nation. I'm Austin Verhill, and along with Tim LaDuke and Nick Giovanelli, today we're going to talk about opening day tomorrow and all the Yankees roster spots decisions that were made and some news from around the league. So without further ado, how about it?
You're listening to a New York Sports Nation production, enhancing your New York sports fan experience.
Hot town, summer in the city, back of my neck getting dirt and gritty.
Well, thankfully, that intro only took one take, so we got started on pretty good time here. But we're going to start with the Mookie Betts deal that hasn't been finished yet, but all indications are that Mookie Betts is going to stay with the Dodgers, and I made a statement when this deal was first made to send Mookie to the Dodgers from the Red Sox, that if the Dodgers don't extend him or win the World Series this year, that this deal was a failure. So, because they extended him, they definitely won this trade, and if I'm a Dodgers fan, I am really excited because it's looking like it's a 10 to 13 year deal of just an MVP type player. And if I'm a Yankees fan, I'm really, really excited because he's not on the Red Sox.
There's no chance of him going back unless he's somehow. We move.
We move.
We move.
Austin, I think, along with Nick, said that the Dodgers won this off the bat. Am I right, Nick?
No. My take was basically the same as Austin's. Like, if they didn't win the World Series and lost him, they 100% lost. But it wasn't so surefire that they won right away, you know?
See, with these kind of things, you gotta go out on a limb right away. And I was thinking in the car today while I was driving home from delivering a catering, which is not necessary to tell you, but that's what happened. At the time of the trade, would you rather be the Dodgers in position to win a World Series with Mookie Betts or the Red Sox, who might get value out of these players later?
Well, at the time of the deal,
I'd rather be a Dodgers fan.
Well, yeah, obviously. No, but that's if it was a deal where it was a one day thing and we all died tomorrow. But there's games and life beyond that point. And let me tell you something, as soon as this quarantine thing hit, the Dodgers had to do it. Because imagine sending Verdugo, who's gonna be a good player, and making that trade to get Mookie Betts to have him for 60 games. How awful would that be? Obviously, none of that would have been their fault because they couldn't have predicted a pandemic. But it would have sucked, and the pressure was on as soon as... Well, it was not as soon as they made the deal, but it got even strengthened once the pandemic hit.
Mookie Betts had 4.8 WAR in 2015. That's his lowest besides 52 games in 2014. Do you think Alex Verdugo will ever have a WAR over 5?
No.
Have a WAR over 5?
Yeah.
No. No way. Max like 4.
Yeah. Mookie Betts has 4.8, 8.3, 5.3, 10.4, 6.6. I'm taking Mookie Betts all day. Dodgers won the trade outright, even with a 10-game season.
That's not true.
Dodgers win the trade even if there's a 1-game season.
Even if there's a 1-game... So if you get Mookie... So you would rather have Mookie Betts for 1 game than Alex Verdugo for his whole career.
Yeah.
Like,
dude, that's such a... That's the dumbest thing I've ever...
What game it is.
No, it doesn't.
I will gladly take Mookie Betts in Game 7 of the World Series over Alex Verdugo for his whole career.
Okay. Game 7 World Series. Would you trade Clark Schmidt to get Anthony Rendon for your one game season? For your one game. Not guaranteed to win that game.
Yeah, I'll take it.
Are you kidding me?
You're kind of... I think I might take it too.
Are you serious?
Because Clark Schmidt's not pitching that game.
Okay, but I shouldn't say Clark. I shouldn't say Clark Schmidt. And bat in that lineup. You know who I should say? I should say. Let's see. It'd have to be a position player, because Verdugo's position, and it'd have to be a starter, because Verdugo like
Floreal,
was
bro.
No, because Verdugo was playing for the Dodgers. It's not like this is a prospect who's never played. He was on the Dodgers team. So, like a Miguel Andujar that wasn't injured.
Oh, yes.
So you would...
are you saying you wouldn't... You would keep Andujar for Anthony Rendon?
For a game of Anthony Rendon? For one game
You're forgetting we're the Yankees. We have Urshela on deck.
Dude. Anthony Rendon is phenomenal.
Anthony Rendon for Game 7 of the World Series.
I think away
Andujar, and Urshela gets the spot when Rendon's gone.
I think Anthony Rendon is the most underappreciated player in the league.
Nope.
No way. Okay, that's not true either. There's so much hype around Ohtani, it's insane.
So who is it, Nick, if it's not Rendon? Because a lot of people weren't giving Rendon any attention until the World Series last year.
People give Matt Chapman even less.
Matt Chapman is like the underground god for some reason. Because he's good at defense.
He's amazing at defense.
He's very good at defense. Phenomenal. Probably the best in the league. But because of that, he gets overrated.
He also had 6.6 war and 6.1 war the last two seasons.
Yeah, whatever.
36 homers last year.
Anyone and their mother could hit 36 homers last year.
138 weighted runs created plus, 125 last year.
You know, we were playing, I can't remember if it was the Mets games or the Phillies we were playing, one of the exhibition games we just played, where they showed the list of the all-time home run teams. And, dude, all of them are from last year, except, like, the bottom two that was on the list. And the one it was the 2018 Yankees, then it was the 2019 Yankees, Dodgers, Astros, Twins, and I think maybe one more. But that means four teams beat the record for most home runs when the Yankees just beat that record that was held since 1997.
All right, I don't want to get off track, but this reminds me of something I'm doing. I listen to a lot of Yankee games on the radio, and I'm writing down every dumb thing that I hear John Sterling say. And he said that the balls weren't juiced last year because he couldn't tell a difference. Like, he touched one and he couldn't feel a difference.
Okay, that's dumb.
Man.
I love the man. Love the man to death. I love John Sterling, but that's a very dumb thing to say.
Yeah, what are you talking about, bro?
That's a juiced baseball, Susan.
Oh, man.
Now see how many home runs freaking Brett Gardner had? Come on.
I love Brett Gardner. Let me tell you, is it the most Brett Gardner thing to argue balls and strikes in an exhibition game?
Yes.
And it was a strike, by the way. The one that he complained
about.
There
was one call on him on, like, Sunday night. It was way outside.
Yeah, there was one.
Unbelievably outside. And he was, like, strike, and I thought Brett Gardner was going to lose his mind.
Real quick on the Dodgers thing, just to poke fun at the Red Sox fans, who for some reason thought he was coming back.
Yeah, every Red Sox fan was like positive.
They're like, Red Sox fans are tweeting like, "Oh, I can't believe he's not coming back." It's like when your girlfriend says we're gonna take a break, and then she's like hanging out with other guys. But you're like, oh, we're just on a break, though. She'll come back. And then turns out she's dating someone else now. And you're like, oh, my God, I couldn't see this coming. How could she do this to me? She's cheating on me. And you're like, bro, you guys broke up. It was a break.
And it's like you broke up with her.
Yeah. You dumped her. Said, we're on a break. She starts seeing other guys, and you can't believe it.
And, another thing with Dodgers rookies that Verdugo used to be, Gavin Lux got optioned to the training site, which I thought was very interesting because he is very good.
Tim, your brother got optioned?
No, that was me. I wanted to keep. I was kind of embarrassed.
If you guys were ever wondering what Tim looks like, just Google Gavin Lux.
Yep.
But one thing I did want to mention, we still talking about the whole deal where you were like, a Dodger went immediately. David Price was a part of that deal, which I guess we keep forgetting. But that's huge for the Red Sox. That's why they got rid of Mookie.
That's okay, why people thought Aaron he was going to come back.
Yeah, trade a better Aaron Judge to clear cap space by getting rid of some other player. That's cool.
Well, I mean, but it's not the same because we're a winning team who's not struggling financially.
Okay. I'll give you that, I guess.
You guess? But let's move completely away from that. Let's do a complete 180 onto a topic that is for some reason a little controversial, and that's players kneeling.
Just let them do it. I don't understand.
Aubrey Huff.
Oh, God.
I'll tell you a little story. When I was, I want to say 11 or 12, and I was playing Little League, I was on the Giants. And we had this thing where it was like Little League Day, where all the levels, we were on this baseball field. I can't remember what we were doing. But my coach came up to me and said, you know, if you went over to one of the little kids and told them you were, like, Aubrey Huff of the actual San Francisco Giants, they'd probably believe you. So I did that, and they did, and it was really funny. I never regret anything more than ever pretending I was Aubrey Huff. Aubrey Huff.
Canceled for that. Aubrey Huff. Podcast off the air.
Aubrey Huff is the single most annoying and stereotypical, like, racist guy I've ever seen. Like, every stereotype of, like, an old white guy is Aubrey Huff. If you look at the dude's Twitter, which is hard because he probably blocked you, but if you look at his Twitter, everything. He goes, I stand for the anthem and only kneel for God. One picture was of there was a wonderful thing that happened with the San Francisco Giants where a woman for the first time ever was a coach in the major leagues. She's their first base coach. There's a picture of her standing while not everyone's kneeling, but some were kneeling. She was standing, and he tweeted, "She has the biggest balls out of them all." But that's such an idiotic thing to say, because if the kneeling is the controversial part, then you need to have balls to do that. But I'm so happy that unlike the NFL when Colin Kaepernick first did it, and the NFL essentially blackballed him out of the league. I think it's obvious they blackballed him out of the league. But the MLB themselves are tweeting it. Like, the MLB Twitter account is showing every person that's kneeling.
That account is goated, man. I don't care what you say.
And it's about time we. I heard someone say that's. Someone told me that's not a peaceful protest.
What?
And there's nothing more peaceful than not moving. They're literally just not moving. They're on their. Kneeling is probably one of the most vulnerable positions you could put yourself in as a person.
Yeah.
Is a kneel. So they're, and you hear all the time, this isn't the place to do it. The people who are saying this isn't the place to do it are the people who don't want to hear it. So they say, do it while I can't see you. There's no better place to do it and no better way to do it than kneeling during the national anthem. So I have zero issues with it. And there was a boycott MLB trend going on.
Yeah, it's a stupid thing.
At this point, you're not going to be able to watch any sport or anything ever. Because people are not happy about this, and they're going to kneel.
Yep.
MLB players are going to kneel. Hockey players might not, because they'll be on ice. It might be more hard, but they'll do something. Basketball.
Do you remember JT Brown?
Yeah, he put his fist in the air, right?
Yeah, I'm like, there isn't much space on the bench, or like, and like you said, on the ice it would be difficult. So all he did was just put his fist up. That's it.
And they're gonna probably do that or lock arms or something. Basketball, you know damn well, basketball is gonna kneel.
I wouldn't be surprised if the whole team does.
Yeah. I think easily. The most progressive sport is basketball. Football, there's going to be kneeling. And soccer, as MLS, I don't know about overseas, because I don't know
All the leagues over in Europe, the Premier League had a Black Lives Matter patch on their jerseys throughout the whole season. The German League had black armbands. The Italian League had, like, moments of silence before every game or something like that.
Like, and that's so crazy.
At least something.
That's so crazy to think, because obviously racism is a global issue. But this is the Black Lives Matter movement is mainly a United States issue or movement. So it's nuts. That it straight up went from, I think, in 2016, you would more easily find someone against Black Lives Matter than for it. Or not Black Lives Matter, but the kneeling. It was shut down, and, I mean, Colin Kaepernick was blackballed out of the league, and Eric Reed was too. He ended up coming back. I think, was it 2 years ago he ended up being able to come back? But, I mean, it's about time that they're just letting... MLS, I think, put a rule where you weren't allowed to do it. And they lifted it. And now players are doing it. So, if for some reason, people kneeling during the night... And I hate the whole, it's disrespecting the military. That's not what it's doing. The people who say it's disrespectful to the military are the same people that are buying, like, beers and food while it's going on in the stadium. So, I don't want to... If it's so disrespectful to the military, why don't they always show it? I mean, they do in baseball, but why don't they always show it before the games on television? So, I don't want to... There's no problem with it. It's going to happen. And if that gets you to stop watching baseball, then...
Then you weren't really a fan.
Yeah, baseball will be just fine. Moving on to something a little strange. So,
but to sum all that up, we're in support of it.
Oh, you know? Yeah, all of us. late last year,
it was like early September.
Yeah, I think it was September. Domingo Herman, in a very confusing... There were, like, conflicting reports about it.
Every 5 seconds.
But Domingo Herman committed domestic abuse. And he has not handled anything since then well. He posted a picture not too long ago, and someone commented, "Please don't hit your wife again." And he just replied, "Okay." Which is a very strange thing to do. And then
didn't he have like the praying emoji or whatever?
Yeah,
like the hands?
Yeah. Yeah, he did. And then a couple days after that, he posted on his story, not a post, on his story, he put a thing that said, in Spanish, it said, "I left baseball, thank you people," or "thank you my people." And it was cryptic as it sounds. Then he posted a photo and said, he said a bunch of things, but then he said, "If my baseball career ends right now, I'll be happy." But then he deleted every post on his Instagram except two, and I believe that statement, I mean the statement I'm about to say. And then he just said, "I'm not retiring," or whatever. And it's such a... And I'm not going to lie. I don't ever really see him pitching for us again.
Yeah,
and I'm fine with that, honestly. Yeah.
And maybe if he does pitch for us again, I don't think it'll be to the level he was. Like, the level of use I don't think we're going to get ever again. He may have completely destroyed his career. For someone
happens when you beat your wife, so.
Yeah. And when someone who, I mean, he really was a phenomenal surprise for us last year. Where he had the most wins on our team. He was very good for us. He was essentially, like, almost our ace last year.
Yeah, guess what his WAR was, though?
Is it surprisingly low?
Yeah, he was 18-4 with a 4.03 ERA, almost 10 strikeouts per nine. 3 walks per nine, though. 2 home runs per nine. Oh, jeez.
Was it, like... 3?
It was 2.
Damn.
Yeah.
But yeah, I mean, someone who he really has not handled it well at all. Like, obviously it's not easy to handle that. I mean, it's hard to get back in the good graces of the public after you've done something like that. But he has not handled it well. He's become an issue, to be honest with you. I mean, as soon as he's done that, it was an issue, and then the way he's handled it has made it only worse.
Yep.
So I don't know if we ever see Herman pitch for us again, and I mean, I'm fine with never seeing him pitch again for us.
Me as well. If you want to not handle your suspension the right way and, you know, take it like you're supposed to because of the horrible thing that you did, then I have no use for you on my favorite baseball team.
We're going to take a quick break here and have a word from one of our sponsors. Take it away, Austin.
Moving on from that, the Yankees made very surprising roster moves. It's understandable to me that Clark Schmidt didn't get the call because he's not on the 40 man, and Michael King is, so he did. That makes sense to me. But what was shocking was to see Montgomery go down. Now,
yeah, kind of.
It shocks you as soon as you see it, But then when you think about it, it kind of makes sense. Because they're not going to use him right away. So they brought up King to use as a reliever role. And then when they want Montgomery to make a start, they'll call him back up and then probably send King down.
Montgomery, according to Brian Hoke, this is, he tweeted this, what, yesterday? Yeah, yesterday. He said, with the Yankees optioning Jordan Montgomery to carry an extra reliever, here's a rough guess at the pitching plan. Opening day, Cole. Second game, Paxton. Third game against Washington is the opener. Then Happ. Then Cole again. And then the 29th against Philly would be Montgomery. So I'm guessing before the 29th, they're going to call him up again.
Yeah. And people have really, when like projecting rotations and stuff, have just completely forgotten about the opener. The opener was so good for us last year. I love the whole idea of the opener. And I know there's pitchers that completely hate the idea of it. I think Madison Bumgarner said he would never play for a team that would use him in an opener game.
Mad Bum hates everything nowadays.
Yeah, Mad Bum hates everything that's not throwing nine innings. But
he hates letting the kids play.
Yeah, he's like, you guys should all just be quiet and get out because I don't want. I saw this one clip. This guy popped out and he did like you know when you could tell a batter knows he just missed it because he'll do like that little hop. And like he got mad at the player for doing that.
What for? No, for he got mad that he threw a good pitch and the player just missed it.
Yeah, he got mad that he was like, "Why'd you think you should have hit it?"
Because you threw a freaking meatball, Mad Bum. That's why.
I don't like him. I respect him. I mean, great pitcher.
I liked him before last year. Or whenever the Max Muncy... Was the Max Muncy thing last year?
Yeah.
Yeah, then I liked him before last year.
So I like him, too. Max Muncy said that. Great, great pitcher. I
love him in the rotation.
I great intensity. But, I mean... Like, these rules that he follows and, like, has, I am just not for. With that, with the Schmidt not being up thing, obviously it broke my heart. But I have seen some very dumb tweets because a lot of people are very
Schmidt.
Kind of. There's this one guy on Twitter, and I won't say his name. But I think it might be the worst account on Twitter. Obviously below Aubrey Huff.
Who, Bocek?
No. I don't mind him.
Hope he doesn't. I wonder if he listens to this podcast.
He sent us a question before.
He did.
So let's maybe cut that out. But he was crushing Cashman for not... He crushes Cashman all the time, but crushed him because he didn't trade Devi Garcia at the trade deadline last year. Who was available last year at the deadline in terms of pitching? Zach Greinke got moved. That would have been a pretty
Trevor
good...
Bauer,
Trevor Bauer. Other than that, who?
Garcia for him.
I'm not giving up Garcia for Stroman.
Neither am I.
I'm not giving up Garcia for Wheeler.
Not even a little.
I'm not giving...
Looking at that idea.
I'm not giving him up for Mike Minor. I'm not giving him up for
Matt Boyd.
Matt Boyd. There's not a move that was there. Other than maybe Bauer.
But what if that move helped us win the World Series, or at least win the Astros series?
Well, I'm not saying that the move wouldn't have helped us. It obviously would. But to call Cashman a bad GM for not moving him is a dumb statement to say.
We got news.
Wait. Never mind. Jeff, I don't have a sound. All right. Okay, lay it on me.
Outfielder Mookie Betts and the Los Angeles Dodgers are in agreement on a 12-year, $365 million contract extension. Sources familiar with the deal tell ESPN. Combined with the one-year, $27 million deal he's currently under, the total is 13 years, $392
million. Good for him. And good for the Dodgers. But you got to think, with Bellinger... Yeah, eventually they're going to have to pay him. They're going to have to pay Muncy.
Ooh, a record $65 million signing bonus.
What?
That's a lot of money.
Probably what got him. It's a lot of money.
That's Wait, how are they paying that? Because usually signing bonuses are giving as soon as you sign it. Like, it's just like they just transfer to your bank account. Like, almost
Did
immediately.
Did they forget they have David Price under contract now?
But he's not getting paid this year.
Oh, yeah. Well, that's 1 year.
How many years does Price have left?
Time to find out.
But good for him. I mean, the deal's official. He's making a lot of money.
Big boy money.
How much is that AAV? Wait, what was it? How much did you say? 12-year... What was the total?
If you want to include,
don't include this year.
All right, so 12 years, 365.
Okay.
David Price 30? Is a free agent in
2023. Okay, so
at the age of 37.
That's about 30 a year.
I said that the average month has 30 days.
Yeah, oh yeah.
65, 12 months a year.
Yeah, that makes... Oh yeah, you're right.
That's cool, though, that it's that.
So, I mean... And I talked about this, like, I talked myself out of thinking that Harper deal was a bad contract for the Phillies. But by the end of that deal, $30 million isn't going to be as much as it is now. In terms of contracts, because contracts are going to keep going up.
You think we'll see 50 a year in 10 years or less?
50? In 10 years? No. We'll see 40. We'll definitely see 40.
Yeah.
Because Cole got 36. So it's just a matter of time.
Oh, I forgot that Cole got 36.
We'll definitely see 50.
Reggie I don't know.
Jackson got $1 million later. Total from the Yankees.
What'd you say?
Reggie Jackson got $1 million in total from the Yankees in 1976.
Yeah, but that was 70s.
That was 1976.
He said in 10 years.
Oh, I thought you said ever. I'm like, well,
no.
We definitely will.
Oh, no. Ever, we definitely will. But 10 years, yeah. I'm not in our lifetime for sure.
Definitely. But by 2030, do you think we'll see 50 a year?
No. I do not. I think we'll probably hit 45, 47 maybe. We'll be creeping up there, but I don't know. And also, it obviously depends on the type of players. Maybe we'll have to pay Jason Dominguez that. Because if the crop of players is... By the way, in terms of young players, the MLB is chock full of young stars right now.
Hell yeah.
I mean, it's
a beautiful thing.
It's phenomenal. I was like kind of worried about it at one point. And now, I mean, Acuña is unreal. Ronald Acuña Jr. may be, like, after Trout retires, whenever that is, he may be the best player in the league.
Nah, I don't see him being the best player.
You don't think he'll at any point in his career be the best player in the league?
No.
He's just got that thing where, I mean, he can hit bombs.
He's got the swag, though.
He's definitely got the swag. But he's got speed. I mean, he led the NL in stolen bases. He's just got everything. His fielding, it's just great everywhere. Everything about him is really good. Juan Soto's another one that may end up being the best.
I like Juan Soto.
I think
more than Acuña.
Juan Soto has a better chance than Acuña.
Maybe. Is it weird for me to say I want Juan Soto out of Washington? I don't think Washington is going to be that good at all this year. I think
all they lost was Anthony Rendon, and it's a big piece, but I think they'll be okay.
They should have signed Rendon instead of Strasburg. What were they thinking? I mean, they got the same contract. That's so annoying to me. Like, I was rooting for you. I want you to do well.
Rendon could have won the MVP, couldn't he have, of the World Series?
Yeah.
And I think he should have won league MVP.
Who won that? Was it Bellinger?
Bellinger.
Yeah, I think it should have been Rendon.
Oh, yeah, Belly. You know who might be the best player? Actually, no. I was going to say Bellinger might be the best player in the league, but I think Trout will still be around, still in his prime.
What year do you think it will be when Trout retires?
How old is he? 28?
God, is he still that young? That's ridiculous.
He is 28. Oh, he'll be 29 in, like, what, 2 or 3 weeks, August 7th? He's about to be 29. I think he can play till he's like 42. Maybe even older.
He'll probably have. Know. Like, what year did he debut? 2011, 2012? I think he debuted. Yeah, 2011. I think maybe 2033 might be when we see him retire. Like, we got over 10 more years of this guy. And he hasn't slowed down. I mean, how long has his peak been going on? I mean, if we look at his baseball reference, insane, there's not a down year. I'm gonna look him up.
His down year was 2017 when he got hurt with like his thumb, and it still was barely even a down year.
So, his down year, 2017, because of injury.
It was the only one he wasn't in the top two in MVP.
He was four.
His down year is still being in the top five in the MVP conversation.
His down year is hitting over 300 with 33 home runs, 22 stolen bases. I mean, he played 114 games. Oh, and by the way, led the... Are those italicized or only bolded? It's hard for me to tell when they italicize them.
OPS and OPS Plus are italicized.
Yeah, so led the league in those. Led the American League in slugging. And on base percentage.
And he only had 7 less RBIs that year than the next year.
I want to see his Hall of Fame stats. Games. What are his Hall of Fame stats? Did they not have him until they retire?
They do.
Where's his career OPS is 1,000.
Oh, here they are. Okay, so his Hall of Fame stats. The average Hall of Famer has 27 black ink. He is 33. The average Hall of Famer has 144 gray ink. He is 135. Likely Hall of Famer has a Hall of Fame monitor of 100. He's at 136. And Hall of Fame standards, average Hall of Famer is 50. He's 43. If his career were to end tomorrow, he'd be a Hall of Famer in 5 years from tomorrow.
The career war of a center fielder is 71.
He's at 72.8. He's at 72. Absolutely ridiculous.
How does he not have a gold glove?
Really? Well, he won the Wilson overall defensive player of the year.
Yeah, but no gold gloves. Like, what?
Isn't gold glove just straight up the lowest fielding percent or highest fielding percentage?
No, I think it's in... No, it's in, like, it's... There's, like, nominees, I think, and stuff. There's still nominees. Three-time most valuable player. How many does he end his career with?
Five.
Five, six.
What's the most? Isn't it... It's seven, isn't it? By Bonds? One of the funniest things ever said regarding baseball by a person ever, I think, was Foolish Baseball, when he said something to the effect, this isn't verbatim, but he said something to the effect of Mike Trout is the best player in like a certain era to not have to testify in court about his home runs. Which is one of the funniest things I've ever heard. Yeah, Barry Bonds has seven MVPs.
He has half of the San Francisco Giants.
Half of their home runs?
No, half of their MVPs.
Oh.
And this is a team that had Willie Mays and McCovey. So.
Now they have... Wait. Did Evan Longoria retire?
I mean, that proves our point. He did not.
Now they have Evan Longoria.
Wait, can you name all the Yankees ones? I'll give you the year.
All the Yankees MVPs?
Yeah.
I'll try. Give me them.
2007.
That was A-Rod.
2005.
2005? That's also A-Rod.
Was it? Yeah.
1985.
Wow, it was that big of a gap.
John Mattingly.
Was it Mattingly?
I don't know. They don't have him in front of me.
Oh.
It just says that someone won it that year. Yeah, Mattingly. 76.
Damn.
Reggie Jackson.
Oh, yeah, Reggie.
Nah.
It wasn't Reggie?
No.
Oh, okay, that makes sense.
He never won one with the Yankees. He only won it with the A's. All right, now we got four in a row. 63.
That's Mantle.
Elston Howard. 62.
That's Mantle?
Yeah. 61.
Okay. Mantle?
Roger Maris.
Maris, good.
I'm just going to keep going Mantle. Mantle.
And Maris again. I didn't know Maris went back to back.
Good for Maris. He's a very good player.
57.
57.
Mickey Mantle.
Yep.
No.
56.
Mickey Mantle again.
Yep. 55.
Oh, these are Mantle.
Barra. 54. Barra.
Okay, that makes sense.
Barra.
Yep. 51.
Hey.
God, we dominated the 50s, huh?
Is that Barra again?
Yep. 50.
Let's go.
Yeah, did Mantle debut at this point?
Mantle debuted in 51, I think.
Okay.
1950.
So, is it Barra again?
It's Phil Rizzuto.
Oh, Barra's, I think his best friend. They're very good friends. I'm not sure if he's his best friend, though.
1947.
So that's Robinson's first year. So we played him in the World Series.
Joe DiMaggio.
Yep.
There you go.
I buy a parrot if you know this one. 1943.
You're buying it. Why you just want a parrot?
Well, you're not guessing this one.
1940. I'm not guessing it. Wait, hold on. I know this.
No, you don't.
Yes, I do. It's
I
a
no
weird
idea.
It's a weird one. Spud Chandler.
All right, you cheated. 1942.
I don't know.
Joe Gordon, 1941, DiMaggio, 39, DiMaggio. I'll let you guess on the first one. 1936.
Gehrig.
Yep. Nice job.
Okay.
Lou Gehrig.
Lou Gehrig.
I know this one. I know this one. As I'm Googling it, I know this one. Spud Chandler, a player I have never heard of.
No, dude, how could I not know him? Dude, he was the most valuable player that year.
He's named after, that's what my friend Spud's named after. Just kidding.
Spud Chandler only played 10 years.
Four-time All-Star, three-time World Series. It was probably the war.
It's because he had
some freaking resume for 10 years.
And a whole lot of numbers. All with the Yankees.
1944, he had a 0-0 win-loss.
He
pitched six innings.
All with the Yankees, he wore 13, 24, 35, 21, and 27.
He has a 717 win-loss percentage. Is that that's really high, isn't it?
He had a what?
Yeah.
717 win-loss percentage.
Jesus Christ.
I love how in 44
and 35. That's 109 wins to 43 losses.
That's crazy.
In 44 and 45, he pitched 37 innings combined.
Well, look at the years he was pitching for the Yankees. I mean, these are good years for the Yankees.
Well, all of them.
Spud Chandler has the second highest win-loss percentage.
Who's
number
one?
Al Spalding.
Oh, what? Spalding.
Of Spalding fame. Of basketball's fame.
Literally. Like, he's the guy who, I think he's the one who invented it. Yeah.
Phenomenal haircut.
Spalding?
Yeah. Look him up on Baseball Reference.
He's looking tight.
252 wins to 65 losses.
And in his final year, he went 1-0. Got to get that 1,000 percentage, you know.
He
got that 915 in 1875, 54 and 5.
Jeez.
Where is...
He's one of the inventors of baseball.
Well, you better be good at it then, right?
Yeah, he's in Hall of Fame for being a pioneer.
He should be in there for that wicked win percentage. But what do I know?
ERA. What? 7 years he played. 2,886 innings.
What? Were the games longer back then?
He pitched 617 innings in 1874.
There's a cat meowing at me.
He faced 2,784 batters that year.
Okay, his plaque says, organizational genius of baseball's pioneer days, star pitcher of Forest City Club in the 1860s, four-year champion for the Bostons, and manager-pitcher champion of Chicago in National League's first year, Chicago president for 10 years, organizer of baseball's first round the world tour. Thank you.
Name the World Series trophy after Yogi Berra.
He did?
No, I'm saying we should do that. That's a movement I want to do. I mean, that's the best person to name it after. I think the Commissioner's Trophy is the dumbest name of all the trophies. Like, which commissioner?
Name it the Brooks.
Kriske?
Kriske. World Series.
Dude, you don't even know your new favorite player.
I keep wanting to say Koepka.
Brooks Koepka? Phenomenal. I just smashed my hand on my boom arm. So, if you heard that, I'm sorry. But with opening day tomorrow, Tim, do you have the Vegas odds of just the year?
Yes.
Okay. What is it?
For lay it Yankees, on me. 37.5.
In terms of wins?
Wins. Yeah.
I'm taking the over.
I'm also taking the over. Wait. Hold on.
But how many losses is that? Because I'm taking the over on all of these just because they all seem low.
Wait. Let me pull out. So if we do 37 divided.
22. You think they're going to go 38 and 22?
That's a 616 winning percentage if they win 37 games.
It's only 22 losses.
Granted, what was... I can't remember. They said it on air, but I cannot remember.
I took a picture of it.
When they brought up their best 60-game stretches?
Yep. Yeah, that's what I took a picture of. Oh, come on.
If you could find that picture, that'd be great. It.
Yes.
Okay. What
the
was
best,
our...
best, worst 60-game stretches for the 2019 AL East. Our best was 42-18, and our worst was 37-23.
Yeah, nice. So our worst, us at our worst during 60 games is what Vegas has us at.
Our worst at 60 games is 7 wins better than the Rays in their 60 games. In their worst 60 games.
Yeah, our losses were all pretty spread out, huh?
The Rays' best and worst was 40-20, but then their worst was 30-30. Red Sox best was 36-24, worst was 28-32.
Does it say the date of when we did our worst stretch? Like what time that was between?
It just says,
because you gotta think with remember in the beginning of the year we struggled a bit. You gotta think that was to start off the season.
That's every April for the Yankees.
Yeah, but what I mean is, if that was, like, when we struggled in April last year, you got to believe that the stretch where we won 37 games in 60 games was to start off the year with how we struggled in April.
I would agree with that.
So, if that's true, then Vegas is predicting that we have the exact same start of the year that we had last year. Which I think we do better than.
I take our best. I think we might go somewhere around 42-18.
I'm gonna 40-20. I'm gonna take the over on us. Tim, do you agree?
I think I'll take the under, but still win the division.
This does
have less than 37.5 wins.
I take that as a yes.
Would you ask me a question?
Yeah, Nick did.
Yeah, so you think the Yankees will have 37 wins or less?
Yes. Yeah, they can still win the division with that, right?
Well, yeah, definitely. Because
the Rays have to really suck then.
Well,
the Rays have to go like 500.
Rays over under is 33.5.
33
I think they would win like 35.
So 33, that's 550. Yeah, that's just over of 50%. Who goes 500?
Only two teams. The Brewers and the... Oh, wow. You'll never guess who they think will go 30 and 30.
Well, I think I heard you say Pirates.
Padres.
Oh, yeah. I thought you said... I knew it started with the P.
Pirates, they got 25. I'm taking the under on the Pirates, bro.
Yeah.
Does anyone go less than 20?
No one has odds there, but the Marlins, I think, are the lowest at 24, and yes, I think yes.
You think someone's lower than 20?
I think the Orioles get like 18 wins.
Oh, Orioles are at 20. Oh, so literally what you said, Austin.
Under, baby. Over, I'm taking that all day.
You're taking the under. I mean,
I placed a bet on the Yankees on Monday night.
I might bet and take the over on the Orioles.
Really?
I mean, if they win like 21.
20 games isn't a lot at all.
How many? They won like 50 last year.
Yeah.
Did they really? Wait, hold on. How bad were they last year? And they got worse in the offseason, by the way.
They went 54-108.
Okay. That's
really bad.
Maybe I won't, but I'm going to bet on one of these teams. I have to take a look at the whole list, and I'm gonna take a draw.
I'm never betting on anything that has to do with the Yankees ever.
I won't either. So I am going to take a nice little drive to go get gas in Jersey, and then while they're pumping my gas, because I guess they think I'm incompetent, I will be on my phone placing a bet.
Nice.
I hate that you can't pump your own gas in Jersey. It's one of their biggest flaws.
Hey, I mean, they have a tip then?
I don't. I'm not tipping you if you're forcing me to choose for you to pump it.
That's a good call. They're forcing you to not be your own waiter and make your own food at... No, that's... at a restaurant.
What are you talking about? They don't give me access to the grill.
Exactly. They don't give you access to the pump either.
Yeah, but you're tipping the waiter, not the chefs. It's different. Yeah. I don't know. But yeah, I'm not tipping them. Especially, I never pay for gas in cash. So, I'm not tipping you. Yeah, I'm not a fan of that in Jersey, but I will probably... Well, I'd have to place one of these bets soon, wouldn't I?
Today.
Yeah, I don't have to play. So maybe I won't. But maybe I will. I don't know. Who knows where I'll end up. But thank you guys for listening. We hope to see you next episode where... By the way, tomorrow, we get to see Gerrit Cole pitch a regular season game for the Yankees. So,
oh my god, let's go.
So we'll see you next episode where we will talk about him throwing a perfect game. Thank you, and go Yankees.
Go Bills, go Yankees, baby. Baseball's
Gerrit
back.
Cole is a New York Yankee. Let's go.
Elevator going up. In the gleaming corridor of the 51st floor. The money can be made if you really want some more. Executive decision, a clinical precision. Jumping from the windows, filled with indecision. I get good advice from the advertising world.